This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got a sunny sky. The AccuWeather forecast says a couple of showers around maybe midnight tonight, a low temperature of 49. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of the markets at Bloomberg. Here's Mark Mills.
Thank you, Cisco. The Dow Jones Industrial is down 110 points. 3M weighing on that index. 3M off about 11% today. The S&P 500 up a point, and the NASDAQ leading the way. It's up about 0.25%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago index down 0.9%. Orders for business equipment at U.S. factories rose by the most in 8 months in March, a sign that corporate investment is regaining its footing despite trade war uncertainties. And Disney is in talks to acquire the 30% stake in Hulu held by Comcast, according to CNBC, a deal that would give Disney complete control of the video streaming service. Back to you.
On Wall Street today, the Dow Industrials right now are down about 110 points. S&P up about 2, and the NASDAQ up by 22 points.
Here's what's coming up on today's WBBM Noon Business Hour. We'll have Brian Battle with us to talk about earnings in the technology sector. Uber says it wants to be a greater competitor with public transit, getting more people in cars and off of buses and trains. Technology Thursday, taking a look at lenses, both sunglasses and regular glasses, to see how they do at protecting your eyes. Also, the Avengers movie has already dropped online, an illegal bootleg, what that might do to the performance of the film. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Uber is setting its sights on public transportation. We're going to talk about the implications of that in our next segment. Right now, earnings reports from the tech sector are in the spotlight today. We're joined by Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Brian, tell us what we're seeing today.
Yeah, Chris, a mixed day. You know, as Cisco just said, the Dow is down, and that's mostly on 3M, just having its worst day since 87, and UPS also not doing well. But the tech sector is doing better, but still, again, we have a split story. So today, three of the biggest tech names reported, Facebook, Microsoft, and Tesla, is going the opposite direction of all the other tech names today.
And Amazon is holding its ground.
It is. So we had good news today. So Microsoft, just to start off with them, is the biggest corporation by valuation. Again, they just went past Apple. They have a $1 trillion valuation. Their stock's up about $5 today at $129. And that's mostly because Microsoft is succeeding at the cloud business. Business storage on the cloud is helping Microsoft go away from walking down to the store and getting your DOS CD down at Office Max. Now they run a giant cloud business. And if you're going to run a cloud business, you're going to want to know that your cloud business is secure and they're stable. And Microsoft is a name that's been around a long time. They're really big, and their cloud business has just taken off. So a huge day today for Microsoft, just beating expectations and further growth forward in that business for them.
So we have a thread in this story, but the question is, with people who may not have been doing stocks for decades are looking at this and wanting to get in. Is this the time to get in?
Well, I think it's always a good time to evaluate what your strategy is. You know, you should never try and time the market. So even when it's really high, I don't think it's a really good idea to time the market. So you should, you know, the old dollar cost averaging, the old things work over time. So, you know, you might want to take some exposure into the stock market, because places like Facebook, which reported earnings today, there was a lot of cloud around Facebook last year. They had some security issues. What about privacy? You know, Mark Zuckerberg lost $20 billion himself last year. And then Facebook turned it around. You know, it looks like they're going to pay a fine to the FTC for some security problems. But people are signing up and still using Facebook. So even though Facebook looks expensive, their revenue was up 26% this quarter, and it seems like it's going to be doing better. So there's still room to go. You know, when we were talking a couple of weeks ago, we were wondering what would make stocks go higher. And the thing is, we need good news for stocks to go higher. They're fully priced now, but things like Microsoft killing it in the last quarter and Facebook clearing their problems and getting better should give people some confidence. There's still some room to go.
When it comes down to it now, if you're worried about losses, there are index funds for you, right? But if you're going to get into any individual stock, there's a chance that it's peaked and that you might end up losing some money.
And Cisco, that's exactly right. Individual stock picking is really hazardous, first of all, because you're concentrating your risk in a couple of names, and you're competing against everyone else that does this full time. For example, if you thought Tesla was a great idea, it's not working out recently. Tesla, a quarter ago, Elon Musk, who's a mercurial and sort of combustible CEO, said Tesla was done losing money and we're not going to need to raise cash. And they had a record drop in deliveries. They're losing about $5.5 million a day. So at this rate, they're going to run out of money in a year and a quarter. So they're talking about maybe they need to raise more equity, and they also want to invest more money in a crossover and a semi, which is going to cost them all their available cash. So Tesla felt awesome in the third quarter of last year, and now it looks like this is turning around. Maybe their plan isn't working out. So it's very difficult to pick individual stocks. You know, if you don't do this full time and you have a limited amount of money, definitely a broad array of indices or a broad array of sectors is a way to invest in the market, even at the highs.
Well, let's dig a little deeper on Tesla. Are they in a situation where as more and more automakers begin pushing into the electric automobile, their niche isn't quite going to be there? I mean, don't they only succeed if they are a niche?
Yeah, so Tesla was an early adopter. They do have a really good brand. You know, Tesla was the first electric car. They're very luxurious. They're expensive, and they're forward thinking. But Tesla's models haven't evolved much. They're spending a lot of time trying to meet their production and roll out new sectors like a crossover, an SUV, and a semi for industrial uses. But they're not a car company. They're a tech company that's trying to make cars. So Cisco, exactly to your point, it seems it's going to be very difficult for Elon Musk to compete with General Motors, who's really good at making cars, and they just have to start making electric ones. Same with Audi and Porsche, which is probably a bigger competitor for Tesla than Chevrolet is. At the higher end, at the higher cost, Audi, Volkswagen, and Porsche are probably a bigger threat to Tesla. So a lot of headwinds facing Tesla, and just there, you remember last a month ago, Tesla was going to close all the stores. No, never mind, we're going to leave them open. So there is some doubt about Tesla's business plan, and if Elon Musk is really the guy that should be leading the business. He's certainly a visionary, certainly smart. The way he's leading this car company is getting investors some concern, and Tesla is down $8 today at about $2.50.
Interesting stuff. Thank you, Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust Capital Partners here in Chicago. Coming up, a major ride-hailing service is looking to public transit as an area of expansion.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
In a recent filing, Uber said its growth depends on grabbing a bigger share of public transportation. It identifies it as a $1 trillion market. Let's talk about the potential difficulties with Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Joe, Uber's basically talking about getting people off of trains and buses and into cars, more cars on the road. Is that what's going on here?
Well, it is a tough situation. It's somewhat the worst-kept secret that Uber isn't, intending to compete with transit. But their lines has typically been, you know, we succeed when transit succeeds and people don't own cars and they live lifestyles that mix transit and Uber. And I think ahead of this initial public offering, they're taking off the gloves and saying, we're going to compete head-on and not make a secret about it.
And so they're going to, I guess, try to compete. But in that sense, they're going to have government leaders who really favor public transit, who are often the ones who approve the different regulations on Uber.
You know, yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm surprised they're coming quite this blatant about it, because they're facing, kind of a mountain of potential regulation around the country. New York just passed some laws. We have a tax on Uber and Lyft and so forth in our city. And you start revving up the competition aspect, and they may run into some serious headwinds. And, at the same time, Uber is forming partnerships with some transit agencies around the country, trying to be a complement. So it's a risky move to take this stance.
Well, and it's risky to have so many people out on the roads at the same time and overflowing.
Yeah, that's a great point. And there's more and more research coming out in the academic world that there is a congestion impact when people switch. And there's some research out of Boston and some other cities that show that San Francisco, that the shift, you know, transit is suffering in some towns. It's down a bit across the country. And so I think both Uber and transit have a real need to play nice. And I think as Uber rolls out these new products like Uber Express Pool that are really cheap, you know, it sort of aggravates the tension about congestion.
Now, you also have different cities, Chicago among them, where they're creating new avenues for public transportation, like new bus lanes and even new bike lanes. Then you have Uber with more cars on the road. It seems like all these things are creating more congestion, even as they're trying to make travel easier.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think a tough thing is there's so much good that comes out of the rideshare companies. So gaps in the system are filled, people going from suburb to suburb, hard to do on public transit. So we all know there's a big mobility benefit of these carriers. But when you start talking, taking people off, say, downtown-oriented transit systems, you know, you get some bad with that, too. And so I think, you know, fuel prices are down, people are driving more, congestion's up just naturally, and you throw this into the mix, and it creates this backlash effect. And so what we try to do is point out that, you know, you need to have ways to deal with ride-sharing, to let them do what they do best without, well, getting these bad outcomes sometimes.
Whatever happened to the Tesla effort to build a tunnel underneath?
You know, there's a lot of talk with Elon Musk. Of course, we have the O'Hare Express proposal, and so that's which is a fast tube structure taking people to O'Hare. But the next phase of this, I think your comment points out, is we start seeing autonomous vehicles and things, and Uber and Lyft make no secret that they want to be ahead of that. And so what we may be looking at in the 20-year forecast is a lot of people sharing rides instead of owning cars, and that really makes your head spin and turn all the implications.
Joe Schwederman, good analysis as always. Thank you. Joe is professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul. Still ahead, Technology Thursday, preparing for summer with the latest in eyewear and sunglasses. And Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Mark Mills.
All right, well, we have 3M tumbling 12%, the most in almost 9 years after it lowered its profit expectations, said it would cut 2,000 jobs to counter those poor results, 3M citing particular weakness in the automotive and electronics markets and warning of headwinds in China. The auto industry's first quarter earnings report season is setting up to be less than stellar. Sales weakened in two of the first 3 months of the 2019 calendar year. On a year-over-year basis, production also decelerating because of a slowdown in China. Ford reports earnings after the closing bell today. Walt Disney is in talks to acquire the 30% stake in Hulu that's held by Comcast. NBC reporting this, CNBC. It's a deal that would hand over complete control of the video streaming service to Disney. And now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities.
Well, good afternoon, Mark. Grain markets are firm as we head through the noon hour. We saw some early selling pressure from long liquidation and talk that Mexico may be buying cheaper Brazilian and Argentine corn for June and May. Midday, the market firmed up on short covering and a wet, snowy forecast as we move into next week. Corn futures are 1 to 2 cents higher, the soybeans 4 to 5 cents higher, and the wheat up 2 to 3 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. We have the Dow Jones Industrials down 100 points. The S&P 500 is up a couple of points, about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ is up a quarter of a percent. And the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down 0.9%. Echo Global Logistics of Chicago down 11% on disappointing earnings. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Mark Mills, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed today. We'll see what's impacting the markets.
Technology Thursday, we take a look at the latest innovations in sunglasses and eyewear.
The latest Marvel superhero film from Disney is expected to shatter box office records.
Joe Biden officially enters the crowded field of Democrats running for president.
The parents of a five-year-old Crystal Lake boy appear in court on murder charges as prosecutors begin to reveal some details of his killing.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down 110 points, the NASDAQ up 24, and the S&P 500 up by 3.
63 degrees in Chicagoland, headed to a high of 70. Beautiful sunshine throughout the day. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are mixed, as we just said, at this hour, and we're joined by Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Chuck. What is striking you in as we're looking at some of the big names in the...
Well, I think today's a good example of sometimes the dichotomy you get between tech and industrial. On the one hand, you have the NASDAQ market that's up about 23 points, about a third of a percent, versus the Dow Industrials, which are down about 100 points. And the big difference is in the NASDAQ, you've got, you know, the Facebooks of the world, Facebook having a real strong quarter. You've got Lam Research, you've got Comcast, you've got a number of those companies where the earnings were pretty solid. And on the industrial side, you have 3M, where it wasn't so good. And it was kind of interesting, 3M's quarter was really, at least in my mind, the first industrial company that kind of came out with a stinker quarter and thus really kind of got hammered by Wall Street today. They missed on earnings. They missed on revenues. They downgraded their guidance for the rest of the year. And all in all, it was just kind of a lousy quarter. And that's really what's hurting it. And then you've got, not so much in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, but in the Dow Jones Transportation Average, you've got United Parcel, which kind of came out with a quarter that was a little bit of a stinker as well. So that's what's kind of interesting today, this difference between kind of tech and the rest of the market and how those are impacting the various indices.
For those who are looking for a guide in looking at some of the parts of the parts of the area, what would you recommend to people who are looking for some, you know, just something?
Well, I think that from our standpoint, that the one index to be watching, and I know a lot of people are focused on the S&P 500, which recently went to an all-time high, and obviously people's attentions get drawn to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. But as you know, from our previous conversations, we like to watch the Dow Jones Transportation Average because the transport stocks are meaningful in terms of their impact on their economy and their sensitivity to the economy. And it's pretty rare that you can get a sustained move in the broad market with help from the transport. So, you know, we're kind of watching the transportation average pretty closely and seeing if that in turn can kind of confirm the move in the S&P 500 by moving to an all-time high, which is about 11,500. Today wasn't a good day, or hasn't been so far, for the transports because you had UPS getting worked over, and that's a pretty important component of the Dow transports. But, you know, if investors are looking for things to watch to have clues to the sustainability of this rally that we've had so far this year, I think that the Dow Jones Transportation Average and transportation stocks in general is an area to watch. And up until today, it's an area that has been doing pretty well here, especially of late. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, UPS aside, it can regain its momentum here.
Touch on UPS a little more. It sounds like UPS is saying maybe some bad weather had to do with the quarter. Do you think it was just that? Are you seeing something wider here?
Well, that's kind of the $64,000 question when it comes to UPS. Today, from an analyst perspective, you hate to hear weather is an issue. It obviously, for a company like that, it can be, but oftentimes analysts read that as kind of code for, you know, we don't have any other reason to come up with other than we stunk it up in the quarter, so we're going to blame it on weather. The thing that was interesting about their call, their earnings call, was even though their earnings were missed estimates, they still maintained their guidance for the rest of the year. And, that's going to put them to the test and kind of puts them on notice. And I think there's a lot of investors out there, at least today anyway, that aren't buying the fact that UPS is going to be able to meet the guidance that it set, given the fact that it didn't start the year on such a good note. So they seem to have some issues on the cost side of the equation. They've been spending to expand, and I think that investors are a little concerned if they've really got a handle on those expenses and on those costs, and they're also worried about demand on the demand side, especially in their international operations as well. So it's become a show me stock, quite frankly. And if they can meet their guidance that they set at the beginning of this year for the year, the stock should be okay. But I think there's a lot of skepticism right now that that's not going to happen.
Now with 3M, are we seeing something, again, similar question, are we seeing something wider here or just a bad quarter?
Well, the 3M, from time to time, 3M comes out with kind of a stinker quarter, and then it kind of regroups and gets its act together. I mean, the stock had just gone to a 52-week high just prior to the announcement, so there was some optimism there. And I think that was driven in large part by some of the other industrial companies, economically sensitive companies, coming out with pretty good earnings. And that's what's probably the most alarming with the 3M announcement, is that, the environment, at least judging from other industrial-related companies, hasn't been all that bad, and you're seeing some pretty good results coming from those industrials, and then 3M kind of comes out and lays an egg. Now, they do have exposure, probably more than a little exposure to China, and maybe that's going to get better if we get a resolution on the China trade front. But the feeling there, and anytime you see a stock like a 3M, a big stock like that that's down right now about 13%, the feeling is that there's it's kind of the cockroach effect. We've seen one. We're going to see more over the next couple of quarters, and I think investors are selling because of that fear.
Thanks so much, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter. Up next, Technology Thursday, what's new in sunglasses and eyewear, and we'll...
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. As the weather warms, people will be spending more time outside and looking for eye protection from the sun. We welcome Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge. Paul, I'm going to claim ignorance here. I always thought that sunglasses were about just making it so you don't have to squint. I didn't realize there was actually protection for your eyes that they were trying to do here.
Yeah, believe it or not, that's actually the most important component of a piece of eyewear's quality is what does it block? In other words, not just does it allow you to not squint, but you're right, it helps you not squint. But one of the things it does that's really important if it's a good piece of eyewear, and a lot of people don't pay attention to this, is what frequency of light does it stop? Because certain frequencies of light are very high energy and can damage your eyes. So that's actually what you look for. And it extends beyond just the beautiful weather outside. There are companies we can talk about that are actually extending that protection to inside, believe it or not, the high energy light that comes from your computers as well.
One of the things we hear a lot about is blue light, but we hear about it. I'm not so sure that we all understand it. Tell us about that. It seems like it's good and bad.
That's exactly right. Blue light is, it's part of the light that is in, obviously, the visible spectrum. But there is a certain frequency of blue light at about, and if you want to get wonky, here we go, about 450 nanometers, which is about thousands of a meter. Anyway, millions of a meter. And the point is that frequency, that light, if you are looking at it, if you're looking at your computer screen right now and listening to this, you are absorbing that light through your eyes. The problem with it is that suppresses melatonin production in your brain. In other words, if you're looking at your email before you go to bed, or looking at a Netflix movie, or whatever you may be at before you go to bed, you're actually suppressing the melatonin production, so you'll have a hard time going to sleep. And some eyewear manufacturers are actually building very special glasses that are very high-tech weighted to filter that.
In fact, they're talking about mental health, not just one night of rest, so there's something underlying that.
Oh, no, absolutely. In fact, there's a company, I'll just bring it up now, called Roka, R-O-K-A. They're founded by a couple of Stanford swimmers who used to, in a couple of cases, their employees used to work at Oakley. When Oakley got bought by that giant called Luxottica, they said, after a couple of years, they said, you know what, we want to go off on our own. And this independent company, Roka, they're based in Texas, Among other things, have come up with very high-tech lens coatings, so that it's not just squinting, as you said. It's actually blocking those frequencies. And this company has also invented something called RISE lens technology, which blocks that very high-energy blue light. So a lot of folks are working on it.
I'm with Cisco here. Why didn't we ever hear about this?
You know what? You have heard about blue blocking out there, for example, but virtually every other manufacturer blocks about 3%. Of this light. This particular technology we just talked about, RISE, blocks 41%, which obviously is a huge improvement, and it's a massive, for anybody looking at computer screens, this kind of technology is going to be very helpful. But you haven't heard about it because you did hear about it. It just wasn't effective.
Now, what about the quality? If you put these glasses on, is it going to make it tougher to read or tougher just to go about whatever it is that you're doing in front of those screens?
No, that's a great question. Because these guys, Roka in particular, but others are working on it, there is anti-reflective coatings. The coatings matter too, not just what's in the lens, but the coatings that are anti-reflective, meaning it won't distract you when you read, anti-fog, hydrophobic, which means if there's any moisture on it, it goes right off. So in a nutshell, it's extremely easy to look at your computer screen, watch a movie or read your email or whatever it may be without interfering with the ability to see it.
Really interesting stuff. Thank you, Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show, joining us on Technology Thursday. This time tomorrow, Entrepreneur Friday, still to come today. An expected mega blockbuster set to open at movie theaters, but did it already leak online?
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The latest Marvel featuring Avengers Endgame officially opens tomorrow, but there are screenings tonight. Let's discuss the great expectations for the Disney film with Paul Garabedian. He is senior media analyst at Global Box Office Analytics, leader at Comscore in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, Paul.
Great to be here.
This movie's been viewed by a lot of people already, hasn't it?
It has, and in fact, in China, it's generated over $100 million in one day. And globally, before it even hits North America, it's probably going to hit around $200 million. That's a lot of money. I mean, and then once it opens here, and as you said, tonight, there's going to be those Thursday night previews in North America, we could be talking about a record-breaking pre-show number, which could exceed $55, $60 million before the official opening on Friday.
Is this the final movie in the chain, or is this the next one for the next one?
Yeah, well, this is the final Avengers movie, but I never think of anything as being final in the superhero world. You never know. But yeah, this is why the buildup has been so big to this. A year ago, we had Avengers Infinity War post the biggest opening weekend ever, and now just a year later, we're expecting Endgame to surpass this record. And, you know, people are talking about a $300 million opening weekend in North America. That's going to be tough to get to, but it could be 280, 285, 300 million, certainly not out of the realm of possibility, considering that a lot of theaters are running this movie around the clock. Some people are even thinking, analysts, that could $1 billion be on the table for the opening weekend worldwide. We've never seen numbers like this.
So that shows you when it costs them $1 billion to make these two movies. In the end, they make their money back and then some when it's a franchise like this.
That's right. And, you know, the important part of this equation also is what is this movie bringing down the line, like in terms of home video sales, ancillary markets, certainly merchandising, television rights. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar franchise in and of itself. Just the Avengers movies have brought in multi-billions of dollars. And the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, has generated almost $19 billion worldwide, and that's for the 21 films. This will be the 22nd film in the MCU, and this movie could add another $2 billion to that, pushing the MCU to over $20 billion worldwide since the first Iron Man film.
Yeah, just incredible.
In 2008.
Yeah, incredible, and no signs of stopping. Thank you, Paul Garabedian, senior media analyst at Comscore, based in Los Angeles.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Business News is sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. And let's check in with Mark Mills.
All right. Well, stock indexes are mixed as earnings reports sent industrial shares lower. and sparked a rally in big tech companies. The NASDAQ is up 0.3% after strong earnings from Microsoft and Facebook. The broader S&P 500 index is down 0.1% after 3M cut its earnings forecast and UPS reported a profit drop. The Dow's down 109 points, being dragged down by 3M's big loss today. UPS is blaming snowstorms and Midwestern flooding for a disappointing winter quarter, and it's counting on the last half of the year to make up for that. Wall Street isn't taking that bet, though. UPS shares down 7%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 0.9%. Fortune Brands Home and Security of Deerfield gaining 6% today, leading that index. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Mark Mills, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.